at Gillette Stadium. Gerard Mayo will be with us. But right now, Boomer Esiason. Boomer is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And by your New England Kubota tractor dealer. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning, man. It's a Jacoby Brissett day up there in New England, I'm sure.
Well, and it's Aaron Rodgers day where you are.
Oh, sure. My God. It is a nightmare here. I can tell you that. So let's talk about the good things first. How about that?
We're in.
All right, well, the good things are, number one, Jacoby Brissett, you know, I'm really happy for him because he comes in, he plays a really good second half, doesn't turn the ball over, does exactly what a backup quarterback should do. Number two, I think your secondary is really a tremendous secondary. I mean, that was a hell of a performance yesterday. I know that there were some plays that were going to be made, but, you know, Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams were on the field. They are pretty special. And number three, I have to say, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers has any answers in this regard, but this team went all in, and we're looking at a total overhaul next year for the New York Jets, because I think they probably have come to the realization that they are absolutely going nowhere this year. They needed to win this game. They didn't win it. Season, to me, looks like it's cooked, and it's going to be really hard to keep these guys motivated as they move forward through the rest of the season.
The delay calls, are those on him? I mean, one of them ended up costing them the chance to get the two-point conversion, which would have changed things at the end of that game.
Completely inexcusable. I mean, especially with a 40-year-old quarterback, even though you have a new offensive coordinator over the last couple weeks that is calling plays from the sideline, the quarterback should know the plays, should know the formation, should know exactly what they're doing. You know, I saw his explanation after the game. A couple times they were lagging in the huddle. Other times they had problems with personnel. The two-point play was an absolute disaster because ultimately, you know, it's really it would have been a different game had they scored that. But, you know, they have kicking problems, and they have had kicking problems. I mean, whatever could go wrong has gone wrong for what many people think. I'm not saying this, but a lot of fans around here are saying it. Is a cursed franchise that Hall of Famers come here to go die, and unfortunately, we may be witnessing that right now.
Here, fans and Patriots players and some coaches really upset about the no call on the helmet-to-helmet with Drake May.
Yes, okay, so I agree, especially after there was a rough-in-the-passer against Jacoby Brissett that didn't look like anything. You know, and it's also when you go back to the game in which we saw Sam Darnold's head almost tore off last week, and they don't see it against the Rams. So they're going to miss calls. It's always judgment. It comes down to that. The other thing I will say, if we think back to our conversations early on in the year, and you guys were wondering when Drake May was going to play, and I was saying, well, it's going to take a little time. He needs to sit there and watch and see how a game unfolds and kind of have those experiences on the sideline, so when he does go in, he is ready. And by the way, he was ready yesterday. I mean, if it weren't for the drop passes early in the game, I mean, he was taking off and running and getting first downs. I mean, he looked every bit the part of a very, very successful player and somebody who has a bright future in this league. But this is what happens with these young guys, man. They put themselves out there. They run. They take hits. And unfortunately for Drake now, maybe it looks like he'll probably be out for at least a couple of weeks, if not more, given the sensitivities surrounding concussions these days.
Boomer, when you look at this game yesterday, I think one of the things that we kind of we had issues with all week were some of these wide receivers talking about what they wanted to do, how much they wanted the football, and they clearly had some drops. Have you ever been a part of that where guys haven't really established themselves in the league and are complaining about touches?
All right, so I never had to really deal with the complaining about touches, but in 1995, the dark ages here for the New York Jets, I started a season and went to training camp with four receptions as the total number of receptions for the wide receiver corps going into the season. That was the year that Wayne Corbett was a rookie, and he made the team and he started. And it was good for him because it gave him an opportunity to have a really, really great career for the Jets. But it was not great for us because he ended up being our leading receiver that year. And that just went to show you just how inexperienced we were at the position. So If I were the Patriot receivers, I'd just keep my mouth shut, really, honestly. with a couple of those drops early on and then later on in the game with Jacoby even throwing the ball, it was really frustrating. I can imagine from a fan standpoint for the New England Patriots, because just watching the game and watching those drops, and I thought that Adam Archuleta was really doing a good job in terms of pointing those things out. They have issues there. I mean, and it's been an issue since they started the season. So hopefully, you know, they'll get their act straight before the season's over. But I would think that there's going to be a few changes at that position next year.
Boomer, my lead this morning was that I'd rather be on a 2-6 Patriots team in a rebuild mode than a Jets team that's 2-6 that had all the expectations in the world that thought that this was a Super Bowl bound Jets team. Where do you stand on that? They're both 2-6, but it seems like the Patriots have their future in Drake May, but the Jets are falling apart. Both have dysfunction in the locker room.
You know, Courtney, it's got to be really tough for you being the smartest person in that room.
She really
honestly.
Is.
I feel the same way you do. I mean, the Patriots at least have a future, maybe not an immediate future. No, neither one of these teams is going to the playoffs now. But at least they have their young, vibrant quarterback that a fan base can believe in. Now, when he comes back on the field, nobody knows. But I think you hit it right on the head. The Jets are an older team. They went all in. They fired their coach 3 weeks ago. I mean, this is a dumpster fire that is just raging out of control at the moment. They got a quarterback that goes on national television every week to try to explain away the darkness and everything else. It's just the Jet fan has probably had enough. I work with a bunch of Jet fans down here at WFAN, and they are livid, to say the least. So it is definitely ugly, and I think, Courtney, you are 100% correct.
Boomer, yesterday felt like an old-school Belichick type of win, where you have a week of chaos, you have the soft comments, you have the discussion of further mutiny in the locker room, you lose your quarterback early in the game, and yet somehow the team, specifically the defense, rallied around their embattled coach in Jerod Mayo yesterday.
Yeah, you know what's amazing is that how we all process the comments from Jerod Mayo last week about his team being soft, and I was explaining that sometimes, you know, the player comes out in these coaches, especially when they're recently off the field within the last 5 years or so, and I think Jerod wore his emotions on his sleeve, and we didn't know how the team was going to react. Is the team going to, like, shut down on him? Is the team going to play harder for him? And then when you win a game like they did yesterday, you have a great feeling in the locker room, and I heard reports about the different nature of the locker rooms, of course, that the Patriots, you know, after losing so many games in a row, finally won one at home. I don't think they had won one at home since last October. So it's been a long time coming, and it really is a good reflection that the players came out and they played hard, and almost to a man, every player said that they took those comments as a challenge as opposed to an insult. And that's a credit to the players, and that's also a credit to the coach, who obviously knows the room, knows his team, so he knows what he can say. And I'm sure it was a long week for him, but getting a victory the way they did yesterday had to be the ultimate satisfying win for him, at least in his young head coaching career.
Did young Boomer Esiason often dream of throwing a Hail Mary to win a football game like Jaden Daniels did yesterday?
Oh, man. I mean, that guy launched the ball. It looked like, I think it was about 65 yards in the air. And the fact that he was able to run around for about 5 or 6 seconds because the Bears ended up only rushing three guys should be a warning to every defense in that situation that you got to send at least one more guy. You got to get some sort of pressure. But, yeah, it was a remarkable throw, a remarkable play, in otherwise a very, very bad offensive game. I mean, it was ugly. And both quarterbacks didn't play all that great, I mean, reflective of the score. But, man, that Hail Mary was amazing. I mean, they all are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Boomer, one of the things that I look at now, and I know we kind of go back and we say, oh, if the Patriots would have done this. If you're Jerod Mayo, you're that coaching staff, and are you sitting there and looking and going, I know it's kind of revisionist history, but I feel like every week with the performance of the Washington Commanders, the Chicago Bears, the Denver Broncos, all three of these young quarterbacks have been able to elevate their team in a position where they are competitive and making a push for the playoffs, it has to be something that they sit there and think about. We should have started this kid Drake May week one.
Yeah, I I'm going to go back to just sitting and getting experience, and I have no problem with what the Patriots did. And I know it's easy to look at these other players around the league and say, hey, they're having success, they're elevating their team. And I think Drake May has elevated his team. As a matter of fact, the moment that he took over, they started throwing the ball down the field, and he could make throws on the run, and he was doing things that Jacoby Brissett wasn't doing. And I think that's a product of him sitting there watching, and by the time they put him on the field, he was imminently ready to be successful. Now, he takes this hit yesterday. It's really unfortunate, but that's the life of a rookie quarterback sometimes. I don't realize how fast things go. I actually thought early in the game yesterday that he really played smart, that when he took off and the way that Adam Archuleta was describing the Jets' pass rush, which was completely undisciplined, he was able to take advantage of it. But I don't think that they regret the fact that they held them back. I mean, let's face it, Jermaine, this team's not going to the playoffs. The Jets are not going to the playoffs. This is a rebuilding year for Elliott Wolf and for Jerod Mayo and for Bob Kraft. And they got the most important piece, it looks like. And now they have to fill in around them, spend some money next offseason, have a couple high draft picks, be able to, you know, maybe get some wide receivers and improve the offensive line, which is going to be paramount for his success moving forward.
Speaking of throwing the football, Jameis Winston threw for 344 yards in that upset. What happens with Deshaun Watson? I mean, they owe him so much money. What do you guess happens with him?
My feeling is he's done in Cleveland. They have to figure out how to get out from underneath the contract. He'll most likely be on the roster next year because he's coming off of this knee injury. I don't know when he would be able to return. I feel like it takes at least 8 months to come back from something like that. So, but that would probably be towards the early part of next year. This is the second year in a row now that they've had a backup quarterback come in and actually make the team look competent, especially on offense. It's amazing what Jameis did, just like what Joe Flacco did last year. So I don't see him suiting up as a Browns quarterback. I really don't. But then again, is Jameis the future? I don't necessarily know that that's going to be the case, too, because maybe if he does have success, maybe the Browns are not going to bring him back, much like they didn't bring back Joe Flacco because they don't want to hurt Deshaun Watson's feelings. I just don't get it. The Browns are the Browns, will always be the Browns, and just never seem to get it right.
Question of the week for Boomer Esiason, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Did you ever, when you were starting quarterback, did you ever ask to come out of a game because you were tired, like Anthony Richardson?
No, I didn't. I saw this yesterday, too, and I was Tiki Barber was doing a game. And I was texting him during the game going, what in the F just happened? Why did he take himself out of the game? You know, and I was like, this is ridiculous. So he said he was tired. He acted like he was a running back, tapped his helmet. And I'm like, if I were the backup quarterback, I'd be like, what just happened? I'd have to go find my helmet. So I have never seen anything like that. And I never did anything like that. But then again, I don't necessarily know that I ran as much as he ran in a game. So from personal experience, I could tell you no, but I could also say that maybe he just was being honest, and I can appreciate that, I guess.
When you look at that Dolphins team, and they dropped that game yesterday by one, but Tua back in, how do you feel like he looked coming back in after the concussion?
I thought he looked good.
Yeah, and do you think that he's owed more credit for keeping that team in a better place?
I think that he's the key. He's the key to that whole thing. I mean, you know, is their season over? It's weird because, you know, they are 2-5. The Bills win yesterday, had a huge win out in Seattle. They're 6-2 right now. I feel safe to say that Buffalo, unless there's an injury to Josh Allen, is going to win this division again. I think with five losses, Miami has a chance still to turn their season around. I think if you have six or more losses, you might as well just kiss it goodbye and just say that, you know, next year is the thing that we got to be looking forward to. But, yeah, I was pretty happy with Tua yesterday watching him. And they looked, again, offensively a little bit more normal than what they have been looking like. Their defense is really suspect, so I worry about that defense.
All right, Boomer, good luck with the Jets fans the rest of the week.
Jets and Yankee fans, by the way.
We will talk to you next week, Doug.
All right, sounds good, guys. Bye.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurants and Pubs. The Patriots take down the Jets 25-22 to get to their second win of the season, this time in front of a home crowd. Drake May went out after completing 3 of 6 passes for 23 yards and rushing for 46 and a touchdown. He's in concussion protocol on a helmet-to-helmet that was not called. Scary when you hear Boomer say that he expects him to be out for a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Wiggy feels differently about that, so I will find out. We'll see. I mean, we won't get much from Gerard about that, I'm sure, but we'll find out.
Yep, he will join us in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. Monday Night Football, we'll see the Giants taking on the Steelers. Kickoff at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on EEI. The Celtics got a win on Saturday over the Pistons. They're back home tonight to take on the Bucks. 7:30 tip. And the Bruins beat the Maple Leafs in overtime on Saturday. They have the Flyers at home tomorrow night. The Dodgers are up 2 games on the Yankees in the World Series. The game returns to the Bronx tonight. First pitch at 8:08. Walker Buehler set to take the mound for the Dodgers, opposing Clark Schmidt. Shohei Ohtani expected to make his return after suffering a shoulder injury on Saturday in Game 2.
Dodgers sweep still in play.
It is.
Look out.
The Aaron Judge memes are the best.
Oh.
Because he, you know, I haven't watched much of it because he can't hit a beach ball. The memes are so funny.
It is amazing.
And kids eat free at the 99 restaurant on Halloween. Visit the 99 for lunch or dinner, and kids can get a free meal from the kids' menu with every adult entree purchased. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 37 degrees in Boston, afternoon high of 51. Gonna warm up this week to possibly 80 on Halloween.
All right, we will get to Courtney in today's news next from Gillette Stadium. And then I have a pair of Bruins tickets to give away, and I will give those away coming up at 8:45.